Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. This morning, you've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Or 100.3 FM over in the Low Ada area, and I welcome you to our broadcast time this morning. You've tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville station by the way of the web, and that's pretty special. You tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. Well, my website is PastorKenHarger.com. Bring your mouse up over to Messages from the Lighthouse. Click on the current media. It'll take you to the broadcast for today. Whatever way you joined me this morning, I'm so glad to have you be a part of our broadcast time together. I need to tell you, this has been a strange week. We've gone through so many strange things. I'm thinking I'm 85 years old, and I've never had a week like this past week, and with so many things that are shut down and all the different things. And I'm so glad we got a message from God this morning to share with each one of you that I trust will be a means of encouragement and strength. And those of you that may be listening to me for the first time, I welcome you and count that such a privilege. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast. So first of all, a thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area, to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, and to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. And then Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, and I count it a privilege to still be connected with the church there. And I give you a special invitation to attend our services at Shiloh Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. Today, it's just going to be for Sunday today, it's just a smaller group because there was no Saturday service, and there's only going to be the two services at Shiloh. And then on Sunday in Greenville, located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, that's our sister church there, and that's at the corner of Grove and LaRae Street, I'll get it right, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out our music for this morning. And our message for this morning is God uses attention getters in both the Old and the New Testament to get our attention about something that he wants to share with each one of us. And you know, folks, I was just thinking as I started my Monday devotion, I had picked this subject out about 2 months ago and never thinking that we'd be at this time of a period of life as we've been all experiencing these past a week or so, and still got some time to go. So the message, I believe, is directly from God, and he's sharing it with me, and so I can share it with you, and we can be an encouragement to one another. So I welcome you, and to get us started in our broadcast, we're going to listen to a song that reminds us that this God, that we have the privilege to come into his very presence, because he tells us, his ear is always open unto our cry. This very God is the God of wonders. He's the God of the universe. He's the God that's got us the privilege of seeking him. And he told us how much he loved us when he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in just a little while, and we'll talk about this great and mighty God.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle, glory to the Lord. Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will lift your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, you are. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are.
And he is a holy God. What a special way to start our service today, reminding ourselves of this great God of wonder, this God that wants to do so much for each and every one of us. As we gather around him this morning, I want us to think about some things that we normally don't think about today. We're going to just kind of focus our attention upon this God that we're talking about because we need some encouragement from him. This is a strange period of time that we're living in, folks. I don't ever remember everything being shut down so much as it is today and telling you to stay in your house and all of that kind of things. And then, you know, when you're one of the older ones, it's also the realization that they say, you know, the older ones are the most vulnerable, the children and the older ones. So we're going to talk about this greatness of God. You know, when this epidemic came about, you know, when we first started hearing it, and hearing it was because it was over in China and other places and hadn't really arrived at the United States yet. And, you know, sometimes we need to realize that God does use attention getters. God sometimes has to have some way of getting your attention and my attention. And I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I think my attention has been gotten. What if that's not proper English? But, you know, I'm at attention right now, reminding how much in our life we're not in charge of. We just go golden along and taking things the way they are, and we realize that that's pretty special. So I want to have a word of prayer. Today I want to have my prayer not only for the listening audience, but I want to pray for our society today. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, as we come into your presence, what a strange time we're living in right now. I realize, Father, this is no surprise to you because you know the beginning from the end. you know what things that we're going to be confronted with in our everyday life. I do want to remember, especially this morning, our listening audience and all they're going through as a result of this. No school, so kids are home, and older folks are a little nervous because we've heard so many times how vulnerable we are to this problem that we're confronted with today. And Father, workplaces and the hospitals, all the different places and things that the people are doing to try to help one another get through this very difficult time. I especially pray for the listening audience that you might just minister to them in a special way. But Father, at the same time, we realize we as a nation, the whole world is going through this. And so we want to remember one another and ask our Father your special blessing to be upon each person, whatever it is that they're facing today, the difficulties that these things have added to their life. And I just pray that you would cause us to realize this is a good time, Father, to trust in you, to turn to you, to ask for your forgiveness and for your guidance and for your direction and for your comfort and your strength. Would you be pleased to bless the message this morning that it might speak to each one of our hearts? And I'll thank you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I want to give you a couple positive notes. I'm over here at the lighthouse, and I got to tell you, it's beautiful to see the waves. It's a cloudy Wednesday morning, but it's still beautiful because I love seeing that water instead of that great big old ice cube that was here for so long. And then the second thing on a positive note, I had an appointment with my doctor this week, a neurologist, and he told me that, showed me the things that's going on, some things I need to take care of and work at and do a little better at, so to speak. But he also said, for 85, you're a very healthy man. And so I appreciated that so much. Still got some things going on with my voice that we haven't been able to figure out what that is yet, but we'll just keep plugging along here and it'll be okay. You know, one of the things that I've used in my life, when everything is happy, he tells us, just do some things that we enjoy doing. But then he still tells us in the Word, when everything comes unraveled. He isn't saying when it comes unraveled. He's saying it's going to come unraveled. When times are good, be happy, he says. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made one time as well as the other so that the mortals, us humans, cannot predict their future. Did you get that? We can't predict our future. We got to learn how to live this thing called life one day at a time. We're not as much in charge. And we've just been reminded of that. We have to sometimes do some things that we never thought we'd have to do. It is good to hold on to one and not let go of the other. He's saying, you know what? The good times in your life and the difficult times in your life, they're both beneficial. And we need to realize how to do that for ourselves. Because he, the one who fears God, will be able to avoid both extremes. Did you get that? You know what we do sometimes? We want it all to be happy times. We want it all to be, I'm doing what I want to do. But you know, he's reminding us today. He's reminding us these last couple weeks that sometimes we're not in charge and sometimes things don't work out the way we think they should. In the same verse in the Message, which is a paraphrase of God's word, I like the way this says this. Now listen, folks. On a good day, enjoy yourself. On a bad day, examine your conscience. God arranges for both kinds of days so that we won't make anything, we won't take anything for granted. It's best to stay in touch with both sides of an issue. A person who fears God deals responsibly with all reality, not just a piece of it. So we realize this is some good information for us today to understand. I love the thought from Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything there is a season. is a time for every matter under the heaven. A season of time of good days and a season of time of difficult days. And I believe in every season of time, no matter what your age is, we should just trust God in the good days and in the difficult days. I believe we should put this principle that Jesus taught us to work in our individual lives. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I repeat that again? Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, when we just want it all to be happy time, and all of a sudden these times come to us, and we don't think there's ever going to be a difficult day in our life. We just think everything's going to be the way we want it to be and do what we want to do. Can I tell you, he's telling us, each day has enough trouble of itself. The older you get, you realize that. That's from the book of Matthew when Jesus was speaking the Sermon on the Mount. But you know what, folks? He wants us to understand that in those difficult days, the same God of blessings is the same God of the difficult. The God of the mountains is the God of the valleys. And as we go through those things in our life, it's going to help strengthen us to become the person that God really wants us to be. You know, in the Old Testament, they had what was called the potter's house. The potter's house is where they made pottery. That makes sense. But you know, the potter's house, they had the wheel, and I'm fortunate enough, I don't use it. But I had a wheel given to me a number of years ago, and I've used it once when I preached a series of sermons at Shiloh about the potter so they could see what the wheel was like and so on. But you know what? I want to share some thoughts on that. I think there's some answers to all this that we're going through with this virus that we're confronted with. And that is that there's so many strange things happen. And we must know that this is a strong voice, that we shouldn't take things for granted. We're good at that, humans. We all are good at that. I'm good at that. You're good at that. We just take things for granted. And maybe sometimes in America and all around our world, maybe we've taken too much for granted. Maybe this is a time, as it tells us, to pause and consider, to seek our conscience out. There's a story about God wanting to tell the nation of Israel that they had been taking him and their life for granted. He used a potter's house to get this, to get their attention. The Lord spoke the word of Jeremiah to Jeremiah. He's one of the Old Testament prophets. God said to Jeremiah, "Go to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." I went to the potter's house, and he was working there at the wheel. Whatever a clay pot he was working on was ruined, whenever a clay pot he was working on was ruined, he would rework it into a new clay pot that he wanted to make it. The Lord spoke the word of me, and he said, the Lord asked, "Nation of Israel, can't I do with you as a potter does with the clay? Nation of Israel, you are like the clay in the potter's hand." What if God was saying to us today, nation of America, nations of the world, don't I have the right? You are the clay. I'm the potter. I'm asking myself, could this troubled time that we're going through in our lives be a time for us to pause and to hear God say to us, not only as a nation, but as individuals? I think he wants us to get a hold of that for our life. At one time, God goes on to speak about himself. Listen to what he says to understand this idea of God in a little better way. "At one time, I may threaten to tear up or break down or destroy a nation or a kingdom. But suppose that nation that I threaten to turn away from doing wrong, Then I will change my plans about disaster. I plan to do it at another time. I may promise to build or to plan a nation or a kingdom. God says, you know what? I think he gave us a beautiful picture in Nineveh. God had Jonah the prophet go through there and preach in 40 days, and God's going to destroy the nation of Nineveh. 40 days, and God will destroy the city, rather, of Nineveh. And the Ninevites repented, and God forgave them. God says, isn't that my right? I give warnings to people. If they repent, then I change my mind what I was going to do. Sometimes I figure to go build a city, but you know what? Suppose a nation does what I consider evil and does not obey me. Then I'll change my plans about that good that I was going to do to them, that I promised to do to them. Now he says, I just won't do that. That's God's right. That's God's privilege. Now say to the people of Judah and to those in live in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to prepare a disaster and make plans against you. Turn from your evil ways and live and do good. Well, you know what the people all answered? We will live the way we want to. We'll go our own stubborn way. And even if it's evil, that's okay. You know what? This is my prayer for America right now. My prayer for my life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll turn and they turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We need that today, folks. We need that today. And God's trying to speak to our heart, not that he's going to just take over controlling us, but he wants us to know that God is God. And sometimes we've got away from that. We think we're in charge. We think we're God, and we think God should do what we want him to do. You know, one day God did this in another way to help us see, because sometimes, you know, I think when we have things going pretty good in our life, we get kind of lazy, and God has a lot to say about laziness. I want to read this from the Children's Bible. This is the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, for verse 30 it begins. I passed by a lazy person's field. I went by the vineyard of a man who doesn't have any common sense. Thorns had grown up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone walls had fallen down. I thought about what I had seen, and I learned this lesson from what I saw. You sleep a little. You take a little nap. You fold your hands and you rest. Soon you'll be poor as if you had been robbed. We will have as little as if we had been held up. You know what? God's saying sometimes you and I have been just a little bit lazy. We've just been taking it easy doing what we want to do. Because of all that's going on in our changing world today, and what's happened in these last couple, 3 weeks or so, you and I need to be careful that we do not become lazy. You know what they're saying to us? They're saying to us, stay home. You know, inactivity. You've been pretty used, and I've been pretty used to going where we want to go, when we want to go. And all of a sudden, they're saying, stay home. You know what God's saying to us? Don't get lazy in this. He wants to get our attention about laziness. Lazy people should learn a lesson, he went on to say, from the ants. Don't just think about the laziness of the person. God says, I created many things. There's some little things I created like ants. And sometimes we say, why'd you do that, God? He says, you listen to what he tells us about the ants in the book of Proverbs. They have no leader. They have no chief. They have no ruler. But they store up food during the summer, getting ready for the winter. How long is a lazy man going to lie around? When is he ever going to get up? I'll just take a short nap, he says. I'll fold my hands and rest for a little while. But while he sleeps, poverty will attack him as an armed rabbit. Rabbit as an armed robber. All of us are familiar with the ants. We've seen them. And if you see anything about the ants, you know that they're very busy. They're always on the move. They're always doing something. They do not stop. They do not give up. The working ants are constantly working, which is their job to do. When I read this, I thought that is about life. We're always on the go. We have been. All of a sudden, we're asked to slow down and stay inside and those kinds of things. And those are the things that we don't want anybody telling us what to do, so to speak, sometime. Spending more time in your home may be a good time to get some things done. You know, Bev and I have some things that we've said for a long time. Someday we need to spend some time on that. I'm sure everybody listening to my voice has some things that you said, someday I want to work on that a little bit. Maybe this period of time is a time to do that. You know, I just decided that I'm going to spend a little time each day. At 85, you can't do a lot of yard work. But last year, I didn't get my yard work all done. So I'm just trying to spend a little time each day catching up some of that I didn't get done before. And what I've been doing, too, there's some certain little things that I thought, someday I want to do this. I've been taking a little bit of time to spend doing some of those things. I came across this, and I really liked it. Today, I choose to focus only on the good things in my life. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you need to start thinking about some of the good things in your life, some of the blessings of your life, some of the things that you know God has done for you in the past. And we just got through saying a couple of weeks on the idea what God's done before, he can do again. But these are difficult times. These are difficult times. And we need to understand at this period of time, kind of what I'm thinking of is the realization that we need to search and see. Have we trusted in God? Have we put God out of our life? Have we set God on the back burner of our life? Maybe it's time, folks. I'm not just preaching. I'm saying for me. Maybe it's time for you that we seek God's forgiveness, that we realize he's promised us he's going to heal our land if we humble ourselves and pray to him. Got a song I want us to listen to, and that song is saying exactly that. It's talking about the idea of the power of forgiveness, the power of knowing that God has forgiven you and that he wants to work in your life. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
Been living in the shadows of your hurts and past mistakes. If you had the chance, you'd love to try again. I too wish I could go back and change the things I've done. It's only by the blood of Jesus I can say I'm forgiven. I've been forgiven of the things that had brought me guilt and shame. Now I am free to live in victory. Those sins of are all behind. I've been forgiven. There's no need to recall the times you've wandered from the Lord, if His cleansing flow has washed your sins away. So when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He knows he'll never have the chance to say,
I'm forgiven, I've been forgiven of the things that have brought me guilt and shame. Now I am free to live in victory. Those sins of mine are all behind. Those sins of mine are all behind. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven.
I've been forgiven, and we need that forgiveness to give us assurance as we walk along in these difficult days of our life. Forgiveness is realizing that we all have failed, and God stands ready to forgive us. And He knows that forgiveness will give us some victory in our life. But He also knows that forgiveness can give us peace. It's not that He's standing over us and saying some difficult things for us and saying, you're going to do this whether you want to or not. He's just asking us to forgive Him, to seek forgiveness from Him. I'd like to go back to the potter's house for just a few moments. In that Old Testament time, that wheel is spinning. It's never out of the potter's hands, that piece of clay isn't. And God's been reminding the nation of Israel, He's been reminding you and I, He's the potter. We're the clay. And that clay is never out of the Father's hands. He is in constant contact while He's molding, while He's shaping, while He's bringing the clay along the way to teach us. The potter's the potter. We're the clay. God is God. I'm not God. You're not God. God is God. And we need Him. We need Him now in these kind of times. We know we need Him. You know, I've said for a long time, human nature, when things are good, we think we can live. We don't need God. But when things become unraveled and things are bigger than you and I, we know we need somebody bigger than you and I to get us through this difficulty. But even then, sometimes we as humans, we want to blame God. Why does this happen? Did God send it? I'm not saying God sent it. But some people would say that. God sent this to us. God caused this to happen. And if they're not blaming God for it happening, you know what another group of people would easily say? If God's God, why can't He just bring about a quick healing and stop this? That's not the way God works, folks. For this kind of thinking, I like the lesson that God shares about a relationship between the clay and the potter. In the book of Isaiah 45, God said this, "How horrible it would be for one who quarrels with his maker." May I say that again? How horrible would it be for one who quarrels with his maker? God's our maker. Why would we quarrel with him? He's a potter among every earthy vessel, earthy pot. He's just a part of the clay, and yet he thinks he's better than God. Does the clay ask the one who shapes it, what are you making? Does your work say to you, there's no handles? You do the work you need to do, and somebody criticizes the work that you're doing? How horrible, he says, it would be. That's a strong word. How horrible it would be for the one who says to his father, why did you conceive me? Or he says to his mother, why did you go through labor pains for me? Boy, folks, God just wants to get our attention to say, let God be God. Why don't we take our avenue where we are? We're humans. We're in need of this God. We need to trust him. He's just not trying to lord it over us. You know why I can say that? You know, when my mama would say something to us kids that she wanted us to listen to, she said it once, she expected us to listen. But I got to tell you, she spoke it twice. She gave us a double warning. And God gave this warning in the Old Testament. But God gives the same warning in the New Testament. It goes like this. Who do you think you are to talk back to God like that? Can an object that has been made say to its maker, why did you make me like this? A potter has the right, whatever he wants to do with the clay. He can make something very special for special occasions, or he can make something that is for everyday use. And you know what? He can make that out of the same lump of clay. That's in Romans 9:20-21. God's reminding us he is God. Maybe in these times that we find ourselves in, times when we got more time to think, maybe we ought to consider, I'm not a self-made person. God has his hands upon my life. I believe finding fault with God when things go different than we think it should have is a sad way to respond to our Creator. I'd rather be thankful for a perfect potter. He's willing to work with this imperfect clay of my life. Us humans are just humans, but we got a divine potter, God. He has purpose he wants to make of you and I. And sometimes we act like unresponsive clay. As the clay is in the potter's hand, I'm so thankful as we go through these tough times of our life like we're in now. Our lives as an individual, as a family, or as a nation, we can trust this God. We can have security that we are in the Father's hand. You know, this is my little prayer. Make me, mold me, and give my life to the potter as I give my life to the potter's hand. You know, my prayer would be nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. God said one day, Jesus said this of his Father, nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hands. We need to trust him, folks. We need to trust him in these difficult hours because that's so important for each one of us to do, to become a part of what God wants to produce in your life and what God wants to produce in my life. We just need that encouragement from him to know that that's exactly what he wants to produce in each one of us. And you know, that's something very important to get a hold of. And I want to continue on in this kind of a way. One day in the life of the Apostle Paul, what was happening in his life was that he needed some encouragement, but he needed a way to speak to some people that were very religious. And it's recorded to us on a place called Mars Hill. Now, Mars Hill was very significant because it is here that Paul, he spoke to a lot of religious idolatry people. They were Greeks, and they even had one altar, he noticed, that said, to the unknown God. I just want to give you a little bit of Paul's sermon that he spoke that day. As Paul seen that description, the unknown God, I want to share that to you today to realize that many of us have this understanding, don't have a good enough understanding of this God that wants to help us. We have been taught or we believe that he's just there to be mean to us. I'm telling you about this unknown God, Paul said. The God who made the universe and everything in it is the Lord of the heavens, and he's the Lord of the earth. He doesn't live in shrines made by humans. He isn't served by humans as if he needed anything. He gives everyone life. He gives everyone breath. He gives everything they have. From one man he has made every nation of humanity to live all over the earth. He has given the seasons of the year and the boundaries within they should live. He has done this so that we could look for God, how somehow reach for him and find him. In fact, he's never far from every one of us. He wants us to get to know him. And that's why he said he sent this one that's made us all on the same page. And that one is Jesus. He's saying he wants us to think about Jesus. He said we live and move and have our existence in this one Jesus. As some of your poets have said, we are God's children. So if we are God's children, we should think that the divine being is like the image made. It's not like an image made from gold or silver or stone, an image that is produced by a human imagination. God overlooked times when people didn't know any better, but now he commands everywhere, everyone, to turn to him. To change the way they think and change the way they act. Could it be that this is what God is wanting to come out of this disaster in your life and my life? You know, disasters in life either make us better or bitter. Is this virus going to make you better or bitter? Is whatever happens through this virus, is it going to cause you to be angry and upset at God and at love and at people? He said he set this day before us that we, you know, you and I might realize that God has something good. Now, Paul's just about ready to finish his sermon, and this is what he said. He said, this one Jesus was resurrected to give us some hope. Now, I'm saying that to you. This one Jesus was resurrected so that we could place our faith and trust in him. And when these things like we're going through now as a people and as a nations, when these things happen, do we have someone to trust in? Someone to pray about? Someone that's going to walk with us? Someone that's going to take care of us? Now listen to how the people responded to Jesus at that period of time. When the people of the court heard that a person had come back to life, some began joking about it. Others said, we'll hear you another time. Others responded, when they left the court, they came to Paul and they became believers. That's what this is all about. From my life to your life, God wants us to have faith in him. The bottom line then to us today is we face what we're going through to know that what God wants us to do is to turn and change the way we think and act. Notice there's a response. They begin, some just laughed and some said, we'll talk about this another time. Maybe this is the time to talk about it. Maybe this is the time for you to examine, do you believe in God? Has God got any time in your life? There's a verse that I really like in the book of Acts, chapter 3:19. It's telling us the blessing of asking forgiveness. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. God said he wants to wipe away your sin. He isn't going to dwell on your sin. In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That really spoke to my heart. A time of refreshing. I don't know about you, but I believe when this is all said and done, when we finally have victory over this disease, I pray there will be times of refreshing in your life. The refreshing in the fact that you and I won't take things quite so for granted as we used to. We just think every restaurant's going to be open. We just think everything's going to go as it always does and as it always has. I got to tell you, folks, this is a time for us to pause and consider. Who am I? What am I here for? What is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to show me? I told you earlier in the message that one of the things that I did was decided I was going to spend some time each day, go out and do some of the work that I didn't get done last fall because winter came too quick. I just want to share from my heart to yours a time of refreshing that God gave to me. So each day I've been going out and work about an hour, hour and a half, the most two. That's about all my physical body can handle of raking, and did some trimming I wanted to get done. Cleaned up a couple of places that I wanted to clean up. And I've been doing that now. I did that the first part of the week. And Tuesday evening was a beautiful day outdoors. Put the battery charger on and got the lawnmower started and some of those things that I thought I could get done during this period of time and I would enjoy it. And I was enjoying being out of doors. All of a sudden my body was tired of raking and picking up leaves and cutting sticks and all that kind of stuff. I went back in the house and it was just really nice and warm right there by the door. The sun was shining right at the backyard door that goes to the patio. So I went in the house and I got a chair and I went outdoors and I sat in the sun. Man, it was nice and warm there and the sun felt good. Remember, this year we didn't go to Florida. I hadn't sat in the sun for quite a while, and I needed to sit in the sun. But as I was sitting there, all of a sudden, there was many sparrows over in the bushes along my driveway. They like to congregate there. It's a big kind of a bush. And all of a sudden, I could hear the birds singing. I could hear them making all kinds of noises. See them from the bush drop down to the ground and look for some food. And as I was sitting there in the warm sun in my face and listening to those birds as they were having their song, so to speak, all of a sudden it was a time of refreshing. All of a sudden, I remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat, what you drink, what you know, your body, what you put on it. Is not life more important than food and body, than clothing? Now listen to what he says. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's the thing that refreshed my soul. Are you not more valuable than they? Are you not more valuable than they? And then over in the book of Matthew, he did the same thing. He said this as he was speaking about the sparrows. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? I don't know what he's buying them for, but two sparrows sold for a penny. And are not one of them, and not one of them fall to the earth ground apart from your Father's knowledge. You know, when I first read that, I think, and they fall to the earth, they died. And maybe that is what he meant, I don't know. But, you know, I just watched them as they would be in that bush. They would just fall to the earth looking for food. I kind of thought, I kind of like that, too. They fall to the earth looking for food. But then listen to what he said after this. He says, every hair of your head are all numbered. God says, I know the number of the hairs on your head. Fear not, therefore, for you, now listen, you are more valuable than many sparrows. You are more valuable. I think what I want to get across this morning in my message is that you're valuable to God. God cares what you're going through. God cares the concerns that you have. He cares about the anxiety that you feel. You know, I came across this picture, nothing too big for him to handle and nothing too small for him, his attention. And it's a picture of a little sparrow. Nothing too small for his attention. Well, my time is gone and I need to head on my way out of the broadcast time and allow this song to close our time together. And this song is reminding us, God is the potter, we are the clay. And listen, he has you in his hands, and he knows what the clay
contains.
I know
you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. But even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the till their submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows. I just came through that fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can't see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I cry, oh Lord, isn't it the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till their submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire. The potter, he knows.